Ed Willis with the Vancouver Province joins us to talk about this. How surprised were you by the announcement today? I mean, probably not hugely, but a little bit?
The timing. What was the surprising factor? I don't think anybody would be surprised at what happened. By the same token, I don't think anybody could have safely predicted this was going to be the first course of action, especially with three games to go in the regular season. And just as an aside, the timing of this is really interesting because the deadline for Canucks season ticket renewals is tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And I think almost everything in this drama has to be viewed against the backdrop of the damage which has been done to the Canucks brand this season. There was a time when Canucks tickets were gold in this market, and over the last half of the season, you've just seen that deteriorate and deteriorate, and we've seen that lower bowl, a third full. It might have been a half full last night, and it was just like one of those soul-sucking scenes where you just said, this is so wrong and this is so bad, and they're going to have a hell of a job getting this one back on the rails.
What do you think the timing of this announcement signifies?
I think it's saying, look, you know, we understand we've got a big problem here, and we're going to make big steps to correct it. And I do believe Trevor Linden is going to be the first hire, the first domino to fall, and that will be a popular choice with the masses. It will placate. It will go a while. It will go a ways to restoring the credibility of this franchise. But in and by itself, it's not the only thing that needs to be done.
We'll talk about Linden. I don't want to. Just to go back for a second, Ed, do you think the Gillis radio interview the last straw? Do you think that kind of forced their hand?
That's the way it's kind of being interpreted, Steve. It's almost like you have to be a Kremlinologist here. You know, you study the figures on the May Day viewing stand and who's in favor and who's not in favor and who's standing closest to Brezhnev or whoever it was. It's crazy, but that, I mean, the consensus seemed to be he was sending the message, and I thought he was talking over Francesco's head to Luigi Aquilini, the patriarch of the family. I think he sensed Francesco was dragging his heels on the Tortorella decision, and Mike wanted, you know, a clear mandate from ownership that things are going to be done his way, and I think we got our answer today about the way ownership feels about that.
It did seem like it's him or me. You know, that's...
Yeah. Like I said, that's certainly the interpretation.
Yeah. Okay.
That's going down here.
So Linden comes in presumably as president. And as you say, he's kind of Mr. Canuck in a lot of ways, so that will be very popular. But what is that job going to be under Trevor? What would Trevor Linden do in that job?
Well, you know, this is the thing. He's been, you know, taking part in triathlons and, you know, building these fitness facilities. He's, you know, he's been involved in the game. But, you know, a normal organization, they take their face of the franchise, the popular guy, they make him the player director of player development for a couple of years, then make him the AGM for a couple of years, and then they slide him into the big office. Of course, Trevor and Gillis ended up on the wrong side of the 2004-2005 lockout, so they were at loggerheads. Trevor's been estranged from the organization. Now they're bringing him back. Like I said, it'll be a popular decision, but he's still got to deliver the goods, and nobody knows what, you know, is he going to get to hire the GM? Is he going to get to hire the coach? These are all things that will out over time. I think they're buying themselves a bit of time here, and I agreed with your assessment there that, we've got our CEO. Now we're going to give him a chance to examine the organization and buy some time moving forward. I'm still, but if I can just get back to this idea of the damage to the brand, I'm not sure they can bring Tortorella back based on what I've seen this season and the way Canucks fans have universally rejected the style of play that the Canucks have been employing.
I don't want to suggest that Trevor Linden isn't qualified for this job, but from afar, his appointment seems rather obvious and at the same time and predictable. At the same time, it might be the most common mistake made in sport. Let's bring back one of our icons, one of our heroes. Cite the case of how many times that really works. Do you subscribe to that theory or not?
No. I think, I think there's a way to do it. And I look at what the Red Wings did with Steve Yzerman and countless other organizations.
But that's not what's happening here.
No, it isn't. And that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm, a normal organization. They groom the guy.
Right.
They give him a 4 or 5 year apprenticeship to learn the ropes and to, and make his bones. They haven't done that here. So it kind of smacks a bit of desperation. And this ownership group and this organization has used up all their goodwill with the franchise. So, if this doesn't take right away, they've caught massive, massive problems. Trevor buys them a bit of goodwill right off the hop. But, if what we've seen this season is a continuation next season, it's going to get ugly.
But what I'm hearing from you is that there is a real crisis here in the relationship with the fan base and the ability even to sell tickets going down the road. And that's what that's the bridge that Linden creates. Because it's not going to be, when push comes to shove and they drop the puck again in October, it's going to be about results.
Yeah.
And, is Trevor Linden the guy to execute and produce those results? And if you believe that, based on what?
Well, that's it. It's a gamble. It's a huge gamble, like for the popularity factor. Yeah, we'll give them that. We'll give them, it'll buy some time. We'll quell the masses, give them a certain comfort level going forward. Trevor is, universally admired in this market. But again, I keep coming back to the tire fire that is this season, and that face in and by itself doesn't correct everything that's happened in this market, and it doesn't assuage the fan base completely. And they've got a big job to do. Trevor might be the right guy. I don't know. I do agree with your assessment. And this is a great analogy. I think, Steve, you'll appreciate that. Somebody compared it to the Lions bringing Joe Capp back in
1999. Oh, yeah. No, Trevor's considerably more sane than Joe Capp, but I get it.
He's got that going for him. He's not certifiable. He's got that going for him. But like I said, this is, and from a media guy's point of view, this is another gift that keeps on giving. We thought, Goalie Confidential was good, but this one's been even better.
I'm interested in talking about Tortorella. Maybe is too toxic, maybe just too toxic to bring back. But mm-hmm. there's obviously complicating factors here, right? It would appear that he's the Aquilini's guy. Mm-hmm. They owe him a lot of money, and there's mm-hmm. a lot of term left. One of the things that's been kicked around here was the notion that could you sell, Trevor Linden, Jay Feaster, John Tortorella, yeah. and say, yeah. well, Feaster and Tortorella have worked together. They won a Stanley Cup together. This is going to work.
That's certainly one of the scenarios that's out there right now. Again, hate to sound like a broken record, based on what hockey fans saw this season, from the style of play Tortorella was preaching, and when it was successful, it was okay. It wasn't great to watch, but when it was successful, it was okay. But from the New Year's on, they've basically been an expansion team. They haven't scored. They can't defend. They've got these good young players. I've got a couple of good young players in Nicholas Jensen and Zach Kassian who just aren't getting any ice time and don't seem to be developing. You bring back Tortorella, there's that black cloud from this season hanging over him. And with all due respect to Jay Feaster, who is he to Vancouver fans? He's a guy who worked with Tortorella, who had his best years a decade ago in Tampa. I don't know if that washes, but believe me, Steve, everything is in play with this. Everything and anything is in play with this ownership group.
So Francesco Aquilini is going to have a press conference on,
tomorrow.
He's going to do the talking tomorrow, right?
Well, yeah, unless he brings Trevor out, and I think Francesco isn't great in front of the media, and we were speculating today. I'm not sure if he goes out and tries to send the right message. Now, if he shows up with Trevor and Trevor presents well, Trevor looks great in a suit, Trevor will give good media. I think Trevor will bring the temperature down a bit here. Mm-hmm. That's, again, that's what I would see happening. That's what I think a rational organization would do. we'll see what happens tomorrow.
Yeah, because I was thinking about exactly that. You know, Francesco Aquilini, in the times that I've, you know, I don't know him, but I've, you know, the rare times I've seen him, you know, in those kind of situations, that's not his forte. You know, he's not a front man.
No, he isn't. And again, you know, if Trevor is the guy and all indications seem to be, you know, why would you wait? Why would you wait making that announcement?
You've only had a few hours to kind of noodle this, although maybe you've had a few weeks to kind of noodle this because it seemed inevitable that something was going to happen. Who's the best case scenario as GM? Who's the best case scenario if Tortorella goes and you have to, and they have to bring in a coach?
Wow. Yeah. Again, you know, four or five, six different scenarios, and you know, I almost plug it. You know, like it's almost like a casting call. So, do you bring in the veteran guy? Do you bring in a guy like Feaster because of his connection, or do you maybe go a little outside the box and bring in, you know, one of the young guns, one of the rising stars in the professional? They've got a guy here named Lawrence Gilman who's been the AGM, who's done really a terrific job of negotiating contracts and managing the payroll. Not a sexy name, not a lot of clout there, but you know, I think they could sell him. There's Julian Brisebois in Montreal. There's Jason Botterill in Pittsburgh. I think Paul Fenton deserves a look. That's the other scenario. I'm not sure if they would have the patience, if the fan base would have the patience to watch a young kid come in and, you know, learn his craft and learn on the job. That's it. I keep looking at Bob Nicholson and thinking there's a place for him here. He's a BC guy. He interviewed for the president's job. Back about 8-10 years ago. Not even that long ago. It was about 7-8 years ago, about the time they hired Gillis as the GM. So, got a bit of a connection. And again, you know, a name that's very familiar that hockey fans would be comfortable with.
Although he seems more of a fit for the job that Trevor Linden's about to take.
Absolutely,
100%.
Absolutely, Steve. Yeah. Absolutely, couldn't agree more. And the other name you hear floating around is Marcus Naslund. You know, one of our
guys. That's interesting.
Yeah, one of our guys at the province got a hold of him, and, you know, guy who has a pretty good relationship with him, and Marcus clammed right up on him. I'm not talking. I'm not commenting on anything. So Trevor is the president. Marcus is the GM. They've got, they've got Gilman and Lauren Henning, who are two pretty good veteran hockey guys surrounding him. Again, that's possible. It's one of the 15 possibilities that are in play now.
And whoever it is. Is, you know, when you look at this team and you've watched, you know, as you watch this team this year, and you just say there's been high drama after high drama. But the bottom line is you have to, somebody is going to take a team where the core is the Twins, and a bit more than that, but the core is the Twins, and that's going to be the task. Can you build a good team, a winning team, a championship contending team around the Twins at this stage?
But probably not. But can you be competitive? Can you be, you know, can you have a respectable finish? Can you play an entertaining style? Twins turned 34 next fall. You know, so Tamu Solani played his last year 44. I realize the guy's a freak.
Yeah.
But 34, you know, isn't over the hill as far as a hockey team goes. They've got some nice young pieces coming. They've still, like this season has just been such a train wreck. When you look at, you know, the established level of productions of Canucks players over their careers versus this year, it's just astonishing. It's right across the board. Like, Alex Burrows was a proven 25 to 30 goal scorer. He's got 5 frickin' goals this year. Alex Edler is minus 33. He looked like an all-star defenseman 3 years ago. I mean, the Twins have both won Art Ross trophies. I don't think they're going to get to 50 points this season. It's just been crazy what happened. So, you know, if you think, and granted, it isn't the greatest philosophy that things can't possibly be as bad as they were this year, but I think that's part of the thinking going forward, that things can't possibly be as bad again as they were this year.
Yeah, but you're talking offensive stats and a coach who preaches a system that doesn't encourage offense.
And another reason why I don't think Tortorella will be back.
Well, that's exactly where I think all conversations wind up leading you to, whether you believe in the guy or don't believe in the guy. The way he coached this year and the way he has coached in the past, clearly it was oil and water when it came to this group of Canucks players. Can't change all the players, Although you changed all the goaltenders, so I guess anything's possible. But so either this coach has an epiphany or is ordered to coach differently, or he's on the next bus out of Vancouver. Let me throw a stupid name at you to get your take on it. And this is a real stretch. But if you know, here in Toronto, there's lots of talk about whether Nonis and Carlisle survive the Maple Leafs' latest debacle. If Nonis were available, how does that fit in Vancouver?
My short answer is that would be not in a million years. If you know the relationship between Nonis and Francesco,
okay,
it ended in a bad way, and
gotcha.
The hiring of Gillis was not great. And I wouldn't say no to anything at this stage, but that would be as close as I would get to saying unequivocally no.
Well, it wasn't the most unexpected announcement I've ever heard, but then again, the timing was a little surprising, and it did catch a lot of us a bit off guard here.
I guess if we'd known about that ticket renewal deadline, we wouldn't be so surprised.
I'm just wondering how that plays into this.
Well, it sounds like optics were taken into account.
Yeah, you know, like I said, in and by itself, but if you think of that as being, you know, symbolic of the damage that's been done to the bad, what's going on in the business off the ice, you know, then I think the timing of this announcement starts to make a little more sense. Yeah,
it just seems to me that the smart, astute business decision, if you're worried about season ticket holders. And what did you say? When's the deadline? Tomorrow?
I believe it's tomorrow. Yeah,
I'd have made this move a week ago. I mean, right now, what you have is no GM, no president, and a coach that probably is on his way out. I don't know how that inspires you to buy tickets. I think you got to go the whole route. You got to say, here's what I'm doing. Now, maybe that happens tomorrow morning and they're hoping for 6 hours of flooding the phone lines. But I don't know. Mike Keenan? I don't know. Who can you go get? Who do you go get?
Well, you know, and this is the other thing. So, you know, like, so they hire a GM, and now, and here's your coach, John Tortorella. Like, who in their right mind takes that job under those circumstances, unless it's somebody so desperate for a job?
I know.
You brought back Keenan, and you know, the joke I was making is, you know, maybe it's a step forward. You know, the last time they went down this road, it was a player who named the GM or Messier. At least this time, maybe it's going to be the owner who names the GM.
Yikes.
It's crazy, and I don't see it ending nicely and neatly and all tied up with the ribbon on it anytime soon.